Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is The Other Side of Talk. I'm Mo Ray, glad to be with you on a dreary, I guess it's still autumn day in Youngstown, Ohio. But anyway, we'll try to bring you a little sunshine with some information that might be interesting to you. In fact, some of the stuff we're talking about today is focused particularly on Youngstown. And if you watch my show Tuesday, I'm sorry, but because there were multiple technical issues there. But so basically, this is kind of a mashup between some of the stuff I wanted to show you then and some stuff that I've picked up since then. Of course, we are coming up fast on Election Day this coming Tuesday, and it's anybody's election right now. I know what the polls say, but we knew what the polls said in 2016. So one other thing I'll say, though, a little advisory. If you haven't received your absentee ballot yet, you can go down to the polling place, to the Board of Elections, and you can cast your vote in person. I talked somebody into doing that, and they were so glad. And I don't think they've got their ballot yet through the mail. So, and by the way, once you cast that vote, you can also as well take that absentee ballot down to the Board of Elections and drop it in the drop box. No stamp is necessary since it's only going from the box back into the building, so you can do it that way. I think there's just a lot of, you know, because there have been, I know the president's overstated the problem with mail-in ballots, but when you see these news stories where this one postal employee was fired and charged for throwing away at least 20 ballots. You had another situation in Boston where this guy actually burned the drop box. So I hope we have better security at our drop box here. But anyway, as we speak, over 60 million Americans have cast their vote, and probably even more than that by now. So this is a record as far as people voting early. In fact, this is the first time that early voting will surpass Election Day voting. So, and certainly this is the first time that mail-in ballots will outnumber in-person ballots. Of course, we are in the middle of a pandemic, even though you wouldn't know it from watching the president have his crowds at his rallies. But I decided to just get us started with something from The Guardian newspaper. The Guardian is a British paper. The reporter's name is Oliver Laughlin. Oliver Laughlin was in this area about 2 weeks ago, and he spoke to Youngstown residents, both pro-Trump and anti-Trump, around Lordstown. And he also went out, in the case of this clip, he went out to Trumbull County Board of Elections, and there were some people protesting. I shouldn't say protesting. They were advocating for the president very near the election board. Of course, you can't politic closer than 100 feet to the board, so that's where they were, pretty close. But let's take a look, and I'm running the controls now on this, so this is a whole different ballgame. So if you see me look away, that's what I'm doing, just trying to make sure everything's right. And let's take a look at this report from The Guardian. By the way, it features a cameo at the end by somebody who is pretty prominent, and he made an appearance the other day at the Don Jr. Well, that, in fact, was that yesterday or day before yesterday? I can't remember, but anyway, in the last couple of days, Don Jr. has been here, and this person at the end of this video made an appearance with Don Jr. And but let's start out where we're starting out, and this is from The Guardian. Much. Let's keep it rolling. Today. I mean, I got a beautiful show for you. Well, I just wish I could get it to you, but okay. Not sure. Hold on. Let me turn that off. I don't know. For a while there, we were just on an upward. Almost had it. I know, everything was just getting better. Now, all right, Okay, so I'll just talk to you. Anyway, Tim says he's heard it's over 70 million Americans that have already voted. And Larry says, yo, Mo. And Julie says, good afternoon, Mo. And okay, we're going to try this again. Okay, well, it's a shame. It's a shame that, hold on just a minute, because I really, okay.
Oh yeah, we got there. I'll show you.
We're going to try it again?
Yep, let's run it again.
Okay.
One more time.
I just moved it by mistake. See, I am not a, hold on. Hate when this happens. All right. You know what? Just start. I don't care. Is a total, I guess I'll just be talking to you today for an hour, and it really, to be blunt, the word I will use is sucks, because this is local stuff that would be wonderful for you to see and hear, but that's all right. It is what it is, as some loser says. Anyway.
We're working fine.
Okay. So anyway, let's talk about it. I don't even know where to go from here. Man, I had some good stuff for you.
Yeah, I could try that. Yeah. Try to go back to the old way.
Okay, we're gonna try, instead of whatever we were going to do, we'll try this instead. Yeah, that's it right there with 120 start. Bear with us, folks. My apologies. We'll try to get this show rolling. Yeah, there's darkness. Now let it go to the darkness, and there we go.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, this is always exciting viewing, isn't it? I'm letting him set everything up, and hopefully we'll have a better experience here in just a second.
Yeah, let's give it a try.
Let's give it a try. This is from The Guardian.
Right. Poverty rates in Youngstown have been high for decades, but since 2016, the rate has continued to increase. And now in this city, over half of children are living in poverty, the second highest of any major city in America.
So we're here at Trumbull County Republican headquarters for a Donald Trump flag-waving rally. We want to hear people think about how well he's handled the economy over the past 4 years. Donald Trump promised he would revive manufacturing in this area. Do you think he's done that?
I think he's on the path. I don't think it's 100%, but he's working harder than anyone.
He can do better. He can do better. He can do everything. He can do everything, but he's working on it.
We are a depressed area in Ohio. We are a depressed area within Ohio. He's got a plateful.
He has done so much for middle-class Americans, and you cannot blame him for the communist China virus. He's done a great job with that as well.
Although people here are still loyal to Donald Trump, they aren't exactly brimming with enthusiasm about his economic record. But the mood was about to change quite dramatically.
And the list goes on and on and on and on. And all we ask is for somebody to represent all of us.
Hey, nice. I was president of the union.
You gotta be ashamed of yourself.
Biden's not gonna give us no jobs. 8 years of Obama didn't give us no jobs.
It turned out this protester was pretty well known in Youngstown. His name is Chucky Dennison, a former worker at the General Motors car factory just outside the city. The plant closed last year, and in its heyday, it was the center of the city's economy, employing over 10,000 workers. Chucky left the factory just before it closed, but his fiance, like thousands of others, was forced to relocate hundreds of miles away to keep her job.
I came up here July of 2008, and that's where I met Cheryl, my partner, who's in Spring Hill, Tennessee now.
Did she lose her job when that plant closed down?
Yeah, she got her transfer to Tennessee, and luckily she got that transfer, because if she would have lost her health care, which she was really close to losing, we would have over $500,000 in medical debt right now.
So just tell me a bit about why you were there yesterday. One of the things that surprised me the most was there was a guy there who said that he also worked in the same plant as you and was a union guy too. Were you surprised to see people like that at a rally supporting Donald Trump?
This time around, yeah, very, very surprising. Even all the insane rhetoric that he spewed during the primaries, what he did talk about was holding corporations responsible for offshoring jobs, and he failed at that. Those were his words, and that's how he got elected, through counties like this. And we'll be damned if he's gonna get reelected through counties like this that have been taking a beating the last 4 years.
And we're back. Yeah, like I said, that's Chucky Denison. I guess I didn't work with him. I don't know if our careers at General Motors overlapped or not, but he's certainly become one of the more prominent voices. I've seen him featured in the media. And as I said, the other day when Donald Trump Jr. came to town, he had a few choice words for Donald Trump Jr. And that was picked up by Now This, one of my favorite sites to go to. And this was at the Maronite Center right there on Meridian in Youngstown. So like I said, very local angle there, but the world is watching. And so you had the Brits taking a look at life in Youngstown and how the president promised to, remember, this is the same president who in July 2017 said, don't sell your houses, all these jobs are coming back. Well, they haven't come back. There are some jobs and there is some potential here. But as far as total revitalization that the president seemed to be promising, that really hasn't come true. But and in fact, that's what Chucky Denison had to say to Donald Trump at his appearance at the Maronite Center just the other day.
Focused on.
What about the hardworking men and women in Youngstown that lost their jobs? 5,000 Lordstown people, families separated, communities devastated.
Donald Trump created the most jobs.
Trump said he was going to be the greatest job president ever.
Let's go.
He's the greatest job president since 1932.
Donald Trump writing the policy
since 1932.
Joe Biden supported TPP.
Let's go.
Supported
you go to jail?
NAFTA. He supported China's permanent status in the World Trade Organization.
Job,
so
president.
I'm happy to have this conversation with you any day.
First job president since 1932. Yeah. First was president.
Go.
1932.
Go.
First job go. President since 1932. Go. Herbert Hoover go. Was president in 1932. Go. Worst jobs president since 1932, Herbert Hoover.
Those jobs have left Ohio. They're all coming back. They're all coming back. Coming back. Don't move. Don't sell your house.
November 3rd, Michigan, you better vote for me. I got you so many damn car plants. I got you a lot of plants. Is that right? I mean, have you seen what we're doing here? All the plants that have been built are being built. And what about the plants that are being expanded? They don't want to give you credit for that. They're just expanding.
Hey,
If I'm elected, you won't lose one plant. You'll have plants coming into this country. You're going to have jobs again. You won't lose one plant, I promise you.
The long nightmare of jobs leaving Michigan will be coming to a very rapid end.
It's been amazing what's happened in Michigan, but honestly, it's been amazing what's happened in Ohio and North Carolina and South Carolina and Florida, New Hampshire, and so many other places. They're being built in Ohio. They're being built in South Carolina, North Carolina. They're being built all over and expanded at a level that we've never seen before.
Well, so the fact is, you know, it's amazing with this president. He just says stuff. And apparently, I don't see how you're living in a state and he's telling you that plants are coming when you're actually losing jobs, yet they lap it up. Can't they see what's going on around them? Apparently not. Because he is such a force of nature. He permeates the airwaves. He's all over Twitter. He's everywhere you can look. He's every time you turn on the TV, there he is telling his latest lie. And I hate to be so negative about this guy, but what bothers me more than the fact that he lies is the fact that the supporters don't seem to care. I mean, even when it can be demonstrated that the man is lying, that he's talking about jobs that he didn't have anything to do with or jobs that never materialized, they still eat it up. And I am totally mystified by that. But also, by the way, once again, that was a shout out to Chucky Dennison, my new hero. And that was also from Now This, as I said, the first segment was from The Guardian, the British newspaper, and that reporter was named Oliver Laughlin. This is from a reporter who works for CNN. His name is John King, and he's their political analyst. He's looking at a very crucial state in this race, a state called Ohio.
Won the White House without winning Ohio. So it is absolutely essential to the president's comeback strategy. So what can we learn from the 2016 map as we watch for the results to come in 2020? One of the most interesting things we saw very early, the polls close early here, in southern Ohio, these small counties, one of the first things we saw in 2016 was the source of President Trump's white working class rural support. Look at the margins he ran up in these little counties along the southern Ohio border, 70% here, 66% here. 76% there. That was the first sign that President Trump was overperforming even Mitt Romney, running it up in Ohio. We'll watch for that in 2020. Is the Trump base solid, or are some of those white working class voters defecting to Joe Biden? Other big things to watch for Democrats, the most important part, turn voters out in the city. Is African American turnout high in Cleveland? Can Joe Biden get a bigger margin in Cuyahoga County than Hillary Clinton did? Something else to watch? What about the suburbs? Donald Trump narrowly carried the suburbs back in 2016, including here, pretty big margin in Lake County. These are the suburbs just to the northeast of Cleveland. Can Joe Biden turn this blue or at least make it more competitive? If he wants to win in Ohio, Lake County outside of Cleveland will tell you a lot about where the suburbs are in 2020. One more big test. I want to show you down here, Stark County. Former Vice President Biden went here after the first presidential debate. Why, you might ask, right? Look at the margins back in 2016. Why would Joe Biden go to a place Donald Trump won by such a lopsided margin? Well, this is one of the so-called pivot counties, Stark County. If you go back, here's the 2012 race. It was for Barack Obama. If you go back to 2008, it was for Barack Obama. Pivot counties voted twice for Obama and then flipped to Donald Trump in 2016. So on election night, watch Southern Ohio, watch Cleveland and the suburbs, watch Stark County. If it is red, maybe Trump has a comeback in Ohio. If it is blue, Joe Biden is on his way to the White House.
And by the way, I will be paying attention to that. And Stark County in particular, if you look at the counties he was talking about, the big cities are obviously going to go for Joe Biden, as they usually do. But I believe that what you're going to see is you're going to see some flipping. Now, was it going to be major? I believe, as usual, the rural areas will stay with Trump. But I think you're going to see major turnouts in some of these big cities. You're already seeing it. You're already seeing it in Cleveland. You're already seeing it down in Cincinnati, Columbus, and those places. So it's very likely. This state was being leaning blue. Pardon me. This state was leaning red. Now, in most polls, is being considered a toss-up. So it is still possible that Joe Biden could carry Ohio. And although at the start of that clip, one thing Mr. King points out is that no president has been able to win the presidency without winning Ohio. But some things have changed since then. Some other states are in play that might make Ohio less important this time around, in the Electoral College anyway. So even if Trump manages to win Ohio, there's still a road to electoral victory for Joe Biden. But real quick, and I believe that so strongly, let's take a look at, this is from a group called Midas Touch, and they're pretty sure that they're going to win.
And will overcome. People to come together.
Midas Touch is responsible for the content of this advertising.
And there we go. So, of course, that is, they have their point of view, and it tends to support Joe Biden, of course. And by the way, I do want to apologize for kind of losing it earlier. I just really wanted to get this information out to you. And as I said, the other day was kind of a disaster, so I want to make sure we get out a lot of stuff that didn't get out Tuesday. But anyway, also, here's a frequent promise you're hearing from the president lately. By the way, the day he made this announcement in Lumberton, North Carolina, and this is obviously courtesy of Fox News, but the day he made this announcement, the United States had its most cases of COVID-19 infections. I mean, that's even going back to the early days. Yet, this is what the president told the crowd.
Is that sun hot or what? I'm going to be a lobster. Do you mind if I cut this one at about one third? Because I'm going to be one hell of a sunburned person. Does anybody have some sun protection for your president, please? This is beautiful. Oh, man. I said to my kids, stay out of the sun. Always use sunblock. Hey, always use sunblock, and here I am. That's really brilliant.
To me, that wasn't the one I wanted you to see, but this is a situation where this person I was getting my quotes from, here we go. Yeah, this is the one I wanted, okay? So let's play the clip I actually wanted. And the thing is, when I send these tweets, sometimes I'll send one tweet, but then it sends four or five other tweets. So anyway, this is what the president, on a day when we had hit that record number of infections, this is what the president told the crowd, and we'll try to get you set up here.
It's going to be a cold, dark winter. Very inspiring guy. This is very inspiring. Whoa. I even said, whoa. Whoa. No, we got to have spirit, our country. You know, we're coming back. We're rounding the turn. We're doing great. Our numbers are incredible. And despite the fact that they're keeping certain states, North Carolina, get your governor to open up your state, please. This guy should be defeated. I think they're going to be voting for Dan, your lieutenant governor. I think they're going to be voting for Dan. Now, you got to get your governor to open your state. Got to get him. This is crazy what's going on here. And you know what they're doing? They're keeping it open till the election. Because they think that, you know, there'll be less business, so I'll report worse numbers. But the numbers are so good.
You know, it's one thing to hear some idiot at Walmart make that remark, but to hear the president of the United States tell you that it's going to be over after the election. So let me get this straight, Mr. President. the whole world is in on this hoax to make you look bad. Is that what you're saying? That there is no problem in all these other countries? These people aren't sick. These people aren't dying. It's just, yeah, it's just ridiculous. But I wanted to go before that one. There should have been one before that one that said COVID, COVID, COVID. Might've got out of order. There it is. But and this is the other thing that bothers me about this guy. People are still getting sick. People are still dying. And he's, let's open everything up. I can't wait. And it's an irritant to him. It's not about you, the people. It's about how it's messing up his flow back to the White House. It's about how, is that all you can talk about? But once again, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States.
I'm going to be a lot.
Husband, is that all you want? Not one more? Oh, shoot, under that one. Sorry, this is live. There we go. COVID, COVID, COVID. No, that one below it. Yes.
All right. Let's get it rolling.
Prolong the pandemic. That's all I hear about now. That's all I hear. Turn on television. Right? COVID, COVID. COVID, 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 COVID. A plane goes down. 500 people dead. They don't talk about it. COVID, 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 COVID. By the way, on November 4th, you won't hear about it anymore. So, COVID! COVID! Please don't go and vote, COVID. Please do not, under any circumstances, you cannot go out and vote. Except the problems are that in Florida, the people that are going out to vote, nobody's ever seen anything like it. Prolong.
Nobody's telling you not to go vote. And by the way, that was the same appearance. So in the same appearance, he spouts that nonsense about this going away November 4th. That is the day after the election. We probably won't know who's president that day. I've mentioned that many times, and that's one of the more tragic aspects of this whole thing. Even if this man is voted out, he will take any gap, any period after that election where the results are in question, to spout more nonsense, to incite his supporters to suspect that there's something fishy going on here. Never mind the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic. Never mind the fact that so many ballots are being mailed in. And in most states, at least 9 states I'm aware of, you can't even start to count those ballots until election night, even though they're sitting there. So that is not the part that the president is discussing. He's trying to throw red herrings out in case he loses so he can say, oh man, this whole thing was rigged. What a disgusting individual. I've reached a point in this whole thing where I can't hide my contempt for the man, because not only is it unpresidential and un-American, it's just ridiculous. Anybody looking around, how offended would you be if you are one of the people who are working in a hospital every day, who is seeing this stuff for yourself, who have watched patients die? How offended must you be if you are a person who's lost a family member to this thing that is just an irritant to the president of the United States? Let me tell you something, Mr. President and Mr. President's supporters, you will not wish this away. It's not going away anytime soon. And let's take a look at the opening of last night's ABC, that is the ABC newscast featuring John Muir. And he explains, at least he and another reporter explain where we are with this. And it's not an irritant. It's still a pandemic.
Is now rising in those 45 states. You can see there on the map, more than 72,000 new cases in the past 24 hours. More than 227,000 lives lost. And tonight, new guidance now with Thanksgiving nearing. Here's our chief national correspondent, Matt Gupman from Utah.
Tonight, the virus continues to race through the heartland. It took nearly 3 months to hit 500,000 cases, but that many new cases reported just the past week. Utah, one of 32 states the coronavirus task force calls a red zone. They're desperately short of medical staff here.
So you can create more beds, but you can't create more doctors and nurses.
Right. We can't just make ICU doctors, ICU nurses, or floor nurses.
And for ICU nurses like Michelle Marshall, each patient's death feels personal.
When I fail, it's really, really hard, and I'm sure the doctors and everyone in the health community can relate to that, that it's It's just, it doesn't get easy.
The White House task force urging Utah to enforce mask wearing, but some businesses bucking the mandate. A minority have even called it a hoax.
What do you make of that? It's, quite frankly, it's insulting to healthcare workers and to scientists. And I haven't been spending the last 7-8 months of my life away from my family, away from my kids, because of a hoax.
Cases now rising in 45 states and deaths climbing in 30 states. Tonight, more questions about how common it is for COVID patients to become reinfected. Doctors in South Dakota are investigating whether 28 people might have been infected a second time with a different strain of the virus. Dr. Anthony Fauci today warning that even if most Americans are vaccinated in the middle of next year, we might not see life back to normal until 2022.
I think it will be easily by the end of 2021 and perhaps even into the next year before we start having some semblances of normality.
And tonight, Dr. Fauci also saying, David, that it is small family gatherings, 6 to 10 people, that are helping to drive up the pandemic. They're often infected by their asymptomatic loved ones. And that's why he's got some bad news this holiday, urging people to avoid those Thanksgiving get-togethers. David.
All right. Matt Gutman in Utah tonight. Matt, thank you. And of course.
Hi.
And by the way, that was David Muir, the ABC anchor. And so that's where we are. And how about the people who are being, you know, the president is walking around telling people that he's immune and all that. You see that there have been a number of people who have been reinfected with a different strain. So once again, bad messaging by the president of the United States. But speaking of that, I want to show you how other world leaders are approaching this. And if you look at how the leader of France or the leader of Germany is approaching this, yeah, there we are. This is from ITV News, and we're going to go right to it. But as I said, you know, while our president is dancing around to YMCA and making stupid jokes, tired jokes that he used in 2016, the pandemic goes on, and he seems disinterested. Let's see how the French and the Germans are handling this.
The televised address tonight, the French president left no one in doubt about the COVID crisis his nation is facing again.
Nous en sommes au même point.
All Europe's at the same point, he warned, overrun by a second wave, harder and more deadly than the first.
Plus meurtrière que la première.
Faced with 50,000 new cases a day and more than 500 deaths yesterday, President Macron says hospitals already swamped will be protected by a new nationwide lockdown starting on Friday. The alternative, he says, is unthinkable.
Et d'ici quelques mois,
from here in a few months, it would mean at least 400,000 extra deaths, he said. On the Champs-Élysées tonight, news that restaurants, bars and non-essential businesses will again have to close was met with resignation.
I hate it, but we have no choice, because if we don't do it, then we have to pay.
All the people like ourselves were able to get through the first confinement, and we feel very lucky to have managed to do that. But the second one scares the living daylights out of us, to be honest.
I think people have to respect the decision of the president tonight and follow the rules.
Germany was judged to have handled the first wave of COVID better than most. But Angela Merkel was also being forced to announce tougher restrictions today. The reason? A record number of people, 15,000 in one day, testing positive for the virus. A four-week partial lockdown will start next week, again to save the hospitals. If the rate of infection was to continue like this, we would reach the limit our health system could manage within weeks, Angela Merkel warned. The new rules, which will further restrict social contact, will not go down well with the protesters who gathered in Berlin to denounce the restrictions, which they say are already causing the death of thousands of small businesses. There's been anger too on the streets of several Italian cities, including Rome, where what began as marches against new laws to combat the spread of the virus turned into ugly clashes with the police. Paul Davis, News at 10.
And as I said, that's some ITV News over in Europe. The French seem pretty chill about the whole thing, but the Germans they were acting more like Americans. They're a little upset that they might have to shut down again. But make no mistake about it. I hope there's not another lockdown here. And our country's much bigger, and there's a whole lot going on here that's very different than Europe. In fact, I heard on NPR on the way over here that the spike in England, which wasn't mentioned there, is they believe due to the fact that things had gotten so much back to normal, at least they thought, that a lot of British took vacations to Spain. And they didn't practice social distancing, and they think there's a yet another strain in Spain, and that rhymes. But it started with some migrant workers, they believe. But either way, so there's a lot of things to look at there. What have we talked about here today? You heard that there's multiple strains of this thing. So the president telling you, hey, maybe I'm immune, is stupid. Even if you've been sick, that doesn't mean you're invincible. Also, there is, this whole thing about, hey, let's just get back to normal. I see people posting that. I just want to get my normal life back. Wouldn't we all like that? But you can't change the reality of the fact that we are still in the midst of a pandemic. By the way, according to Dr. Fauci and others, as we move into winter, the air becomes drier and those little particles are more easily transmitted. And by the way, people are spending more time inside. I'll tell you, for my part, I will not be doing the trick-or-treat thing this year. I won't be handing candy out. I'll be hiding in the basement with the lights off. Sorry, kids. And also, I will not be traveling anywhere for the holidays. I'm not a big fan of holiday travel anyway, so this gives me an out. But I just don't see myself sitting on an airplane. And air travel is down tremendously. You know, you can call me a fraidy cat or say I'm afraid to live my life. That's not what it's all about. I'm practicing caution. I'm looking at the reality of the situation. When I see pictures of people on planes not wearing their mask or using their mask as a eye shade, that makes me nervous. There's only that air is recirculated. Supposedly they've modified their purification systems and it's a low risk situation. But I just saw a doctor the other day said, I wouldn't fly if I didn't have to. So I will not be flying. Not to mention the fact that you're walking through an airport full of other people who may or may not have the infection, who may or may not be wearing their mask. So, sorry, I'll eat turkey here in Ohio, alone, more than likely. But I'll be fine with that, because that means there's a good chance I'll be around for the next Thanksgiving. But let's look at something that happened the other night. And this happened to supporters of Donald Trump. He had just given a speech to, and by the way, this is amazing. This is how desperate I believe the president is right now. He knows he's in trouble. Nebraska only has 5 electoral votes, and yet he did have a rally, and he left his supporters stranded. The buses that were supposed to pick them up didn't show up for some reason. And let's take a look at that. I always think you're over here instead of we're on the trigger point. But anyway, let's take a look at what happened to some of Trump supporters in Omaha, Nebraska the other night.
He wrapped up his rally in Omaha, Nebraska last night. Hundreds of supporters were left behind in nearly freezing temperatures.
Sounds like the rapture.
For hours with no transportation. Crowds didn't fully clear the rally until 12:30 a.m., 3.5 hours after the president departed. NBC News has obtained Omaha police dispatch calls that describe at least 7 people being taken to the hospital due to severe temperatures.
Yep, so that's how he takes care of his people. By the way, speaking of his people, this young lady still devoted. She was undeterred by what she saw that night, and just listen to her comments. Her name is Blair Erskine.
Trump's body. I think this whole thing's been blown way out of proportion, you know? Like, yeah, they didn't let us drive our cars here, but it's because they said, you know, our cars are poor, and that doesn't look good on TV. You know, you're a TV person, you know that. I think he did this to teach us a lesson. I really do. What was that lesson? Well, that's not really for me to know. And that's actually pretty nasty of you to ask. Democrats want to have their bus rides and have their bus rides back too. This isn't the Polar Express. Tom Hanks isn't in charge of this thing. He's in Greece being a pedophile. No, I don't feel like he abandoned us. No. Listen, I would walk 750 miles in below zero temperatures, nip nude, just to hear him speak. Maybe that's not appropriate to say, but yes, I've seen some elderly people passed out and unresponsive. But to be honest, the only reason there's so many of those people is because the media keeps counting them. And so if people like you guys weren't counting the old people that were on the ground, there wouldn't be as many.
And welcome back. By the way, I'll let you in on a little secret. She fooled me. That is a comedian, and she was mocking the president's logic there at the end for sure, that there's so many cases because there's so many tests, which is about one of the most ignorant things I've ever heard. Does that mean if women stop getting breast exams, there'd be no more breast cancer? Pretty stupid. But anyway, her name, and she may be as big as some of the other comedians out there. Her name is, again, I had her name, Erskine. Where is she? Oh, well. Oh, her name is Blair. That's Blair with an E on the end. Blair Erskine. And she does little comedy bits like that. Who knows? Maybe she'll be the next Sarah Cooper. If you remember, Sarah Cooper got started. She had been around a while as a comedian, but her big break was doing these things where she would mouth the words of Donald Trump. And now she's got her first comedy special coming out, and she even hosted an episode of Jimmy Kimmel Live. So, hey, there's a lot of profit to be made in mocking a very mockable president. But let me see what I got next here. This was...
Facebook clip was down. They didn't have the clip on Facebook.
Oh, okay. So we moved on to departing. Well... Okay, well, I think this is important, too. We're also talking, there's a lot of talk out there, particularly on the right, about the Hunter Biden matter, which many people say there's been a lot of red flags. Some media sources refused to cover it because they said it was very suspicious. But this is kind of interesting to me, and this is a Howard Kurtz show that's on Fox News, and he had a reporter on saying, basically, that despite their investigations, they found nothing linking Joe Biden to this. You know, you've got the president during the debates making these outrageous comments about how the mayor of Russia gave Biden a couple of $1 million and this person gave him all this money. There's nothing to back that up. And that's the other thing that's dangerous about Donald Trump. He will say anything. Also that night, there was a hanging thing there where he was supposed to prove Biden wrong on something about the environment. That never materialized. But let's, as I digress, let's take a look at this Fox News report where they say, hey, I don't see anything.
While some news outlets keep ignoring or downplaying the Hunter Biden allegations, the FBI confirmed it has his hard drive, and a former business partner confirmed to Fox News and the New York Post the authenticity of emails showing the former vice president said tried to make millions of dollars in China. But there's more. Joining us now is Fox News correspondent Griff Jenkins. So, Griff, the former business partner's name is Tony Bobulinski, excuse me. Here's a brief look at what he said when the Trump campaign brought him to the Nashville debate.
I've heard Joe Biden say that he's never discussed business with Hunter. That is false.
So, Griff, explain the role of Tony Bobulinski and the China deal that never came off, but was the subject of these emails.
Sure, Howie. So, Bobulinski is a former business partner, Navy veteran with Hunter Biden, and you're talking about a business venture with a Chinese energy company in 2017 at a time when Joe Biden was not sitting vice president. Now, what Bobulinski is saying is that when Joe Biden says he did not discuss business ventures with his son Hunter, Bobulinski says that Biden is lying, that he was bore firsthand witness to that. And he also says that Hunter in that deal wanted some $5 million going to an entity directly controlled by Hunter Biden and his family. But Fox's review of Bobulinski's documents, which were given to us, found no role for Joe Biden in that business venture. However, you have Senate Homeland Security Committee Ron Johnson investigating the Biden family business for conflicts of interest, and Bobby Linsky's legal team has offered to meet with the FBI. And I think really the point now this morning, right, Howie, is a lot of people are wondering if a former business partner of one of President Trump's sons alleged firsthand knowledge of an influence peddling scheme directly involving the president with an adversary, would these news organizations be covering it in the same manner?
There's another former business partner who says he knows of no involvement by Joe Biden. And the Wall Street Journal says that also reviewed the text messages and emails, saying they don't show either Hunter Biden or James Biden, the brother, discussing a role for Joe Biden. My problem with this, briefly, Griff, is that these emails are from 2017. At that time, Joe Biden is out of office. So while it may have been unseemly, if it was true that Joe Biden was even acquiescing in potential deal with China, he no longer has the power of the White House behind him at that time.
That's correct. And, you know, the fact that the laptop in question, which Fox has only verified a small portion of that story, also involves the Burisma and Ukrainian dealings, which sort of connects the two, that, of course, when Joe Biden was a sitting vice president. At the end of the day, what you're talking about is it legit to ask questions about the possible next sitting president could have a conflict of interest? Perhaps so. But mm-hmm. one thing is for sure, it's not getting the sort of attention that Fox has given it and the New York Post and others right. as we get close to this election right. in 10 days.
And it is legitimate, except National Public Radio has barely covered the Hunter Biden allegations. Managing editor Terrence Samuel quoted as saying, "We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories. We don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions. How about reporting on it? And if you think you can knock it down, fine, but it's not a distraction. It's not a waste of time. I got to go." Griff Jenkins, great to have you as always.
Thanks, Howie.
And there you have Fox News. And the main thing that came out of that, even though, yeah, they really want this investigated. And by the way, I say investigate away because I don't think anything inappropriate happened there. But look at the timeline. The original, there's a couple of things. If you really look at the whole story with Burisma, there was corruption at that company, that Ukrainian company called Burisma or Burisma. And that occurred in 2014. Hunter Biden didn't join the board until 2015. His dad was still vice president. But as you heard them say more than once in that Fox News report, there's nothing that ties anything corrupt to Joe Biden. That's a certainty. Their main complaint is that other news organizations are not following this. And other news organizations, even in the case of Fox, they've only verified about a third of what they found there. So they can't even prove this story to be true. That's the problem. Most, he got Fox News and the New York Post, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch as well. They run with it because they think they've got something. But even there, you had an admission from two Fox News reporters that there's nothing linking Joe Biden to anything corrupt. But now here's a disturbing thing, if you are following this and if you do think maybe there's something going on, because even I've got to scratch my head on this. This is from Tucker Carlson. Apparently, there was some information that might have been very dangerous or what's the word I'm looking for? It would have made the Bidens look very bad. I'll let Carlson explain himself what happened. He doesn't mention the company, but I got a feeling the company he's referencing is FedEx, but let's see another angle from Fox News.
That we don't have time to get to on the air, but there is something specific going on behind the scenes right now that we did feel we should tell you about. So on Monday of this week, we received from a source a collection of confidential documents related to the Biden family. We believe those documents are authentic, they're real, and they're damning. At the time we received them, my executive producer, Justin Wells, and I were in Los Angeles preparing to interview Tony Bobulinski about the Bidens' business dealings in China, Ukraine, and other countries. So we texted a producer in New York, and we asked him to send those documents to us in L.A., and he did that. So Monday afternoon of this week, he shipped those documents overnight to California with a large national carrier, a brand-name company that we've used, you've used, countless times with never a single problem. But the Biden documents never arrived in Los Angeles. Tuesday morning, we received word from the shipping company that our package had been opened and the contents were missing. The documents had disappeared. Now, to its credit, the company took this very seriously and immediately began a search. They traced the envelope from the moment our producers dropped it off in Manhattan on Monday all the way to 3:44 a.m. yesterday morning. That's when an employee at a sorting facility in another state noticed that our package was open and empty. Apparently, it had been opened. So the company's security team interviewed every one of its employees who touched the envelope we sent. They searched the plane and the trucks that carried it. They went through the office in New York where our producer dropped that package off. They combed the entire cavernous sorting facility. They used pictures of what we had sent so that searchers would know what to look for. They went far and beyond, but they found nothing. Those documents have vanished. As of tonight, the company has no idea and no working theory even about what happened to this trove of materials, documents that are directly relevant to the presidential campaign just 6 days from now. We spoke to executives at that company a few hours ago. They seemed baffled and deeply bothered by this, and so are we.
And there you go. Don't say I'm not trying to be fair with this. I'm a supporter. I've already voted for Joe Biden. I obviously am one of his biggest cheerleaders. But I will be honest, if I do, you know, if Tucker Carlson is telling the truth there, that is highly irregular, as they say in the movies. So we'll see where that goes, if anywhere. But I got to go now, okay? I want to thank you, and sorry about the rough start, but I think ultimately a lot of good stuff got put out today. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have made comments, we got a new setup here, so I really, oh, there they are. The comments were covered by what we were showing you today. Long story. So if you had any comments, I didn't see them. Yeah, a lot of stuff there. Well, I thank you for your comments. I thank you for listening and watching. And you can, by the way, you can check us out on YouTube, on iTunes, and on, why do I always forget the other one?
iHeartMedia
and
podcasts.
Anywhere, baby. We're big time. All right, check us out. And by the way, next time I see you, you will be voting or will have voted by then on Tuesday, okay? Because that's the big day. And I want to thank Mario for doing a great job. And I'm Mo Ray saying, as I always do, keep your eyes on the prize.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.